Valuetown is a production of ChamMV TV. Find out all show information and details at chamMV.tv. Valuetown is directly supported by listeners like yourself via patreon.com/valuetown. What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 144 of Valuetown. I'm Jamie MV, and we've got a packed house today. Even some of the folks aren't even on the camera right now because we've got Potcher on audio. But I've got Jackie and Allie, of course, joining us. What's up, guys?
What's up? Hello.
Yeah. You guys back? I feel like I see you guys like all the time now, like in person since we've seen each other at TwitchCon and now BlizzCon.
Yeah, I kept bumping into you like 5 or 6 times.
I know, right?
Like, oh, Chanma, hey.
Hey, what's up? I know. But no, it's definitely great getting a chance to see you guys. And, you know, kind of back to normal, back at home, but it's all good. We've got two guests today, though, guys. We've got Joe here. Look, it's Joe from the Vicious Syndicate. Actually, the president of Vicious Syndicate, just as the official title. How's it going, Joe?
Hey, how's it going, everyone? Thanks for having me.
Yeah,
good to have you.
You're like actually in an off. You're an actual adult. You're the only adult here that's actually in an office.
It's actually strategic. It's strategic. Don't feel too bad.
Okay. And then lastly, Patra, who is just joining us on audio, just because I don't have a 5-man overlay, unfortunately. But we definitely wanted her on this episode to talk about BlizzCon. Welcome, Patra.
Hey guys, I'm the voice in all your heads.
Well, you know, look, I don't know if everybody knows this, especially the folks watching on Twitch, but we have equal or more listeners on audio than we do on video. So this is just normal for them, Patra. So it's all good.
Okay.
It's all good.
Easy.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I figured this episode, guys, what we have planned, a little bit different than normal where we have all our segments and stuff. We're just going to talk about BlizzCon because there was just so much to talk about at BlizzCon. We were all there, too. So, you know, I figured we'd just do an entire episode on BlizzCon. And that includes cards, that includes announcements and the Invitational and Tavern Trivia and just anything even non-Hearthstone related. But yeah, so overall, guys, actually, what number BlizzCon was this for everybody?
One.
Oh, well, yeah.
Wow. 7 for me.
Whoa.
Wow. He's the actual veteran here, even more than me. Patra, how about you?
It was my first and I won it.
Yeah.
I know.
Oh my God. Unbelievable first one, right? Yeah. So, okay, we got 3 first timers. I don't know about you, Joe, but the first time is still my favorite one of all time.
Yeah, like the awe and the amazement for your first time, it's crazy. So yeah, definitely. First time, nothing beats it.
Yeah, I think mine
did this one compare to all the other 7 or the other 6?
Oh, it changes so much each year. It's hard to compare. Like back when I came at 2010, obviously there was like no esports. I think the only esport was StarCraft.
Mm-hmm.
So like the focus has changed tremendously. And of course, back then it was just the 3 games, Warcraft, StarCraft, and mm-hmm. Diablo.
Yeah.
You know, Hearthstone and Overwatch and Heroes of the Storm are relatively new. So that's pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think
but it's gotten better and better, right?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah. I think my first one was 2012, and that was just before WCS 2, you know, for StarCraft. So
no, 12 was the year there wasn't one. So it had to be either 11. 13 or 11.
Yeah, it was 11, sorry, yeah. Gosh, you know better than I do. <It's crazy.
laughs> I just know they skipped that one year there. So
oh,
it was
that
weird.
Was like lame that they skipped it. Yeah, for me it was my second favorite to my first one. This one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was, I was saying that to a lot of people. Actually, a lot of people were saying the exact same thing to me, too, was that this one felt like an old BlizzCon with just the kind of epicness of something like the esports, like whether, if you got a chance to watch Overwatch a little bit. And then just a lot of people were there. Like, I got a chance to see a ton of people where in previous years, I felt like there were a lot of people I just didn't know. It kind of felt a little bit like a TwitchCon versus a BlizzCon. So yeah, it was a lot. It was really, really fun. I'm sure you guys got a chance to hang out with a ton of people, right? Like,
yeah, I would imagine that your experience, the goodness is based upon how many connections you make, mm-hmm. with friends. Like, if you know more people there, you're probably going to have a better time, And it seemed like there was a lot of people, particularly in the Hearthstone scene, there this year. So I'm not surprised that you really enjoyed this one.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of fun. One of the big things that we had at BlizzCon was, Hearthstone related, was the Invitational that replaced, HCT as the cornerstone of, I guess, the event or whatever for BlizzCon. So you guys, or at least three of you guys, participated in it, which was pretty cool.
Yeah,
Patra,
it's a lot of fun.
On the winning team, too. So you definitely got a chance to have the full glory out of it. But what do you think of the event overall, guys? Because, you guys have been... actually, Invitational only happened at BlizzCon. So overall, like, how do you think it was organized and the format?
It went really well. I heard there was like a lot of people watching compared to like the Hearthstone Championship tours.
Really?
Apparently, but
sweet.
I couldn't pull up my phone and watch because
part of it.
That's good. I mean, I don't know exactly what the viewership was too, but I mean, if it was better than HCT, then that's saying a lot. I'm not sure that's a good thing or not in terms of HCT, but
I feel like it just related to the audience a lot more with having Wild and the excavated treasures, just a new random random decks. It just made it more fun to watch, seeing old cards come into play. Mm-hmm. And it made the crowd go crazy in certain things. Like when we had three Reno Jacksons, that's a crazy game. You don't get games like that.
What? Yeah, three Reno Jacksons in the game.
And they still lost.
Win.
What?
Yeah, we did.
Holy
Paladin too strong.
It's too strong. Okay. What format was that? You had three of them?
Excavated Treasures.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, right. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, we were playing the priest, and they had the Paladin, the Chillblade Crusaders.
Joe, were you in the audience watching all these matches?
Yeah. I think why the viewership was really up on that was that it was fresh and new, and it was less serious. So, the more casual player could really relate more than to feel like, they're doing such high level things that I don't really know what's going on. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we'll get more of that, because it was really interesting. And what fascinated me the most was really when you guys were on stage kind of like eyeballing each other, trying to read. I mean, it really does bring a another level of like competition in there, right? When you're like, not necessarily lip reading, but if you can read lips, that's definitely something you could do. But also just, seeing whether they're happy or worried, or you can kind of read their emotion. And it just adds another layer of fun and excitement, especially from the spectator point of view.
Yeah, another giveaway was when the crowd would go, ooh, and like, you could actually hear that. And it's so like, other crap. Day is just thinking, wow, they got something really good, but we don't know what it is.
If you don't know their decks, that's actually not that bad of a thing, in terms of the... integrity of the game, right? Like, it's one thing when you know their decks and, oh, if somebody drew it, it's like, oh, I know what it is. Like, it's Raza or something like that, right?
Absolutely.
But when you don't, it's like, it's not a big deal, and it adds excitement to the whole atmosphere. That's really, really cool.
Toast in particular, like, we had some fun kind of, I don't know if BM's the right word, but kind of like making faces at the opposing team, like, you got it, bro, like, you got the Shadowbird Pain. I think it was really, really fun, and I think a lot of people felt connected to the players participating. They did a lot of little mini series on us, and I think that added to the success of the event. I really enjoyed being a part of it. And I think, I've only received really good feedback. They're like, oh, I loved watching the Invitational. So I think the overall gist is like very, very positive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is something, I was just going to say, this is something that they promised in the beginning of the year. Like, they were saying, okay, we're going to have, global games, and we're going to have obviously this new HTT structure. And then we're going to have like these fun events. And we didn't have a fun event until the very end, but the Invitational, I think, was that thing that they were promising in the beginning. So I think this is going to be a regular thing, whether it's at BlizzCon or not. but this kind of invitational challenge stony kind of format is going to be pretty cool.
Playing on the...
I was going to say, Ashley, go ahead. You going to say something?
Oh, yeah. They had a couple of firsts. So this is the first time Hearthstone had team communications, right, on Play Hearthstone. Because we've seen team comms in Trinity series, but yeah, we haven't seen it on, you know, twitch.tv/playHearthstone before. So that was fun to watch. And we had the MLG crew sort of recording our day-to-day stuff. And it felt like a reality TV show almost. So we have a few videos on that. That's pretty cool. It's like giving the viewers like what it was like backstage and what was going on every day.
Oh, I didn't actually know that there was footage of you guys while you were there, because I didn't quite catch all the virtual ticket stuff. I saw the B-rolls. I saw the B-rolls of y'all's, you know, introduction, you know, just kind of like where they went to y'all's homes and stuff. But that's cool that there's all that footage in the back, or the behind the scenes footage. Anything funny happen on it? Any kind of embarrassing things or anything?
In the video specifically,
yeah,
or just
the behind the scenes? Behind the scenes.
I can't think of anything too weird that it's happened.
Like, no, shut the camera off. Shut the camera off. Type of moment. Where like you're eating like some giant. Yeah, you're eating some kind of giant.
They would never put anything
like
that on.
Okay.
They just followed us doing pretty casual things like going to the beach or like going for a walk, and then kind of what we do at our homes and stuff. But yeah, it was pretty good because it was really kind of like involved. Like it wasn't just a 1 day event. It was like we had to be there for like 3 or 4 days doing like rehearsals. We had to wear makeup, which was interesting.
that's a lot of stage things. Yeah.
And it was really good. Like I'd never met a lot of the people there either. Like my teammates Crip and Firebat, I'd never met. Well, I met Firebat at TwitchCon, but I'd never met Crip before.
Yep.
And it was just really good to get to know all the other players as well. And like Crip's a really nice guy, and spoke to a lot of the other new, all the other Hearthstone guys. It was a really good kind of like community feel, I think.
Yeah.
Playing on a touch,
Jackie. And
that was the best bit, right?
It was kind of random, but I wanted to say playing on that giant touchscreen was really nerve-wracking, though, because I was so afraid I was going to misclick. Like, you know, you wanted to drag like all the way around a minion just so you didn't accidentally drop it. So kind of random, but it was just another aspect of the tournament that was definitely different for us.
You think that the big one would be better than, say, like the phone, but I guess everybody's more used to the phone these days. So when you're given like a giant screen, it's like, whoa. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, more paranoid. The finger's just like a little finger movement, right? But the screen is like you have to move like your whole body, like arm.
Longer than actually the mouse.
That's funny. Totally funny. Okay.
It's
funny
watching too from the spectator, seeing the focus of them moving the thing across the screen.
Good stuff.
Fortunately, I don't think we had too many like Kazakus crazy machine gun turns in the tournament, so that was good.
Yeah, I nearly roped one game in my first game, and I was like really worried I was gonna like miss playing like my first game and everyone's gonna hate me, but I just did it in time, so it was
all right. Nice.
That's cool. Yeah, but you know, part of me, you know, thinks that these type of events are are definitely a lot of fun and maybe should be an exhibition, but part of me is like, you know, playing Hearthstone has a lot to do with just general understanding of the game overall, right? And you know, we always talk about Standard and then we talk about Arena and differences like that, but you know, this is like another level. Like when you're having to build the decks on the fly, I mean, you literally have different formats per round, not just like per event.
Yeah,
I don't know, there's something about that I feel like is a measurement too as to how, you know, potentially good of a Hearthstone player you are. You know, given that you guys were all invited, you know, versus you know, having some kind of open thing, but I do like to see formats like this, you know, where you guys are put to the test, and then, you know, we see how people measure up, right?
Yeah, it's easy to kind of get used to, like, if you play Standard over and over, you learn the matchups so easily, and it kind of becomes like this repetitive thing. But yeah, when you're thrown into a format that's not what you're used to, then it can showcase, you know, the true skill of a player or something.
Or how adaptive you can be.
How adaptive, that's a good way to put it.
It's definitely fun. So, Pacho, you winning. So how'd you feel playing with Reynad and Krannage?
I get asked this question a lot, actually. So, because when you look at Reynad, Krannage, and everyone actually thought, hey, this looks like they're the weakest team. I don't know why, but not a lot of people want to root for Reynad.
Reynad's good. He's good at these type of things, like, for sure.
Yeah, actually, so he's really good. You know, he surprised me because he was really into it. And Krannage sort of was told last minute that he was going to play with, you know, Grime Street Grifters. We were supposed to have Tice.
Oh, right, right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then, Tice went to TwitchCon, and when he flew back home, he actually came down with, like, food poisoning. And then so he contacted Blizzard and told them, I can't go. And so they got Krannage sort of, like, last minute. And then even, apparently, like, there was probably something going on with Krannage. Like, they had Orange as a backup, which Orange ended up doing the trivia, right?
Yeah, he was the trivia, yep.
So Krannage couldn't really contribute much because especially with also the time zone, and he had things lined up right before the Invitational. So it was mainly Reynad and I doing all the prep work. And that's kind of why in the trailer you see Reynad saying, if this was a class project, Patra and I are more of the, I don't know, what did he call us? Sort of
teacher, group leaders?
Pets?
Yeah, and then
Krannage is just riding along trying to get the A.
That's what he meant.
Because we did a lot of the prep work. But Krannage doesn't need practice, guys.
No,
he basically won 6 games in a row. And at the end, I was like, you know what? That made up for everything. And we all put in good work as a team. We all did our part. Reynad was more of the leader. Yeah, I mean, he runs his own business. He he took charge, and Krannage was just like an amazing competitive player. He's been to, that was his third time at BlizzCon. Everyone knows that probably. Mm-hmm. And then me, I was just more of like the reminder, just telling everyone we have this amount of damage. It's turn 5. They're going to play this card, turn 10, you know, UI.
Right.
And I was like more of the safe player, and I guess that's sometimes good to have. So it was just like a well balanced team.
Cool.
Worked out.
Nice.
Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah, I think a lot of people have like a real, like, I don't know, weird perception of Ray sometimes because like he likes these things. He likes these events, and like he does get competitive in a lot of these events and likes it. He just doesn't have time to do it. I think Ray would actually be a professional Hearthstone player if he had time to do it. But
didn't he wear the medal to the Twitch after party?
He wore the
BlizzCon championship medal to the parties afterward. Like, I won, guys.
I didn't even see him there. He actually came to the Twitch party? Okay.
Yeah, awesome. I think he was proud. Yeah.
That's awesome.
He told me it was a misplay for not wearing my medal. And I said, isn't that a bit like, I don't want to brag. And so he gave me his medal, and I wore it for a while. And actually, a few guys came up to me like, hey, you won something?
Nice.
Wow.
Nice.
It actually works.
Yeah, it there totally works.
Nice. You can pick up people with a medal.
Pick up people. Wow. It's like a dog. It's like a guys with their dogs, right? Girls with their medals. That's like the equivalent to it. That's awesome. So another thing that we ended up doing at BlizzCon was the tavern trivia thing that I did with I think Ben hosted it. It was like a family feud where Ben hosted it, and it was we had two random people from the audience were team captaining it, and we had Hafu, Toast, and Orange on one team, and then Day 9, Trump, and Savitz on one side. So that ended up going really, it went pretty well. Like, there are a lot of funny answers, and Ben is just like an amazing host. Like, sometimes I wonder, like, why are you even a designer? Like, you should totally be you know, talent.
Full talent all the time.
He's crazy good. Yeah, he could make anything good. So it was a blast. It was a lot of fun. The audience, it was packed too. So it was it ended up working out well, since it was like, I think it was the last thing before Muse. So people were, everybody that was in the Dark Moon Fair was, you know, able to catch it and things like that. So, you know, thanks to Blizzard for, you know, allowing us to do that. That was really cool. I did a Streamer Showdown Overwatch right before that too. So it was kind of back to back. Yeah. Lots of big announcements too. Obviously in the keynote. The keynote was cool. What'd you guys think of that? So, those of you first timers, normally that's not how the keynote goes. Normally, all of the presentations are on the Mythic stage. But this year, this year they split it up, right? So they did the Hearthstone one on Hearthstone. They did the Overwatch one on the Overwatch Arena. And they kind of split it up. So I asked you first, Joe, since you're one of the ones that are a longtime veteran. What did you think of this keynote type of format versus the previous ones?
I actually really liked it. It kind of lets you, if you're focused on one game, kind of be in that area. And you can see, the developer or the person that you're most familiar with. Because... that main stage, it's over there in Hall, I think D or whatever. Mm-hmm. It gets pretty crowded, and if you're not there early enough to really get a good seat, it's not as fun to watch. But when you divide it up into different stages, mm-hmm. You still get to see someone live, and obviously, depending on which stage you chose to go to, you probably get to see the person that you really want to see live. So mm-hmm. I really liked it, and I think it was really smart logistically.
Yeah, I totally agree too, because like you said, the Mythic stage only has a certain amount of seats, and I mean, unless you're in that giant like 2,000 person line that's going in the first day, you're not going to get a seat in that Mythic stage. And so you normally I would be watching it anyways. Like the times I didn't make the Mythic stage, I would just be watching it from the World of Warcraft stage or the StarCraft stage or whatever. Anyways. So
yeah.
It's kind of nice that you actually get to see a piece of it live, even doing something similar. I thought the Hearthstone, what'd you guys think of the Hearthstone presentation?
Really good.
Yeah, it wasn't it?
Really, like when they were doing the, it was like something like certain death, and the crowd was like, death, death, death.
Of course they went death.
Exactly. And then the fire, the one that's just like complete tunnel of fire. They're like, fire! Yeah, that was great.
Hearthstone players love choices.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Discover which one. Yeah. I thought that was really, really cool that what they did there. And then just the trailers. I mean, could they just like double their animation team and just make a Disney series or Netflix series or whatever? Because holy crap, those three were amazing.
Go ahead.
Have you ever seen Ben Brode not wear flannel?
No. I've had this conversation with him. He literally doesn't have a shirt that's not flannel.
Really?
Wow.
I'm not even joking.
I think on Twitter he actually showed like a picture of his closet, and it's literally just
it's all flannels.
All flannels. Or plaid, or whatever that design is.
Yeah.
It's not just like these thick flannels. That'd be kind of weird in the summer. But Al, you were saying about the animations?
Yeah, I mean, I just thought the animations were insane. Like, which ones are you talking about? Obviously, the Reinhardt was amazing.
So
I obviously died for the Heroes of the Storm animation with Hanzo and Alex Straza. Just about lost myself there because I thought it was so cool.
Yeah.
What was the
World of Warcraft one with Sylvanas?
Oh, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And, Anduin, that was awesome too. So
I would pay for a Blizzard show. Like if they can make that content, those animations, I would pay for that. Like seriously, they are absolutely incredible.
I would pay a lot for that.
I would pay
a lot. Yeah.
I've never played World of Warcraft before, but the trailer was so good it makes me want to play it.
I don't know how to play WoW, but I mean like I'm inspired to because of how good it looked.
You know what's crazy is that they spent like tens of, I don't even know how many millions, like maybe 100 million on that Warcraft movie. And it's like, dude, spend that money on like, I'll take like 90 minutes of what I saw for World of Warcraft at BlizzCon over the Warcraft movie we saw.
I totally agree with you there.
So one day.
I didn't get to watch the movie.
Oh, didn't watch the movie yet, Patra? Yeah, Patra?
No, is it good?
It's... Man,
it's not bad. I mean, like,
it's enjoyable.
It's enjoyable, but
it's enjoyable. It's better than I thought it would be. Let's put it that way. But it's like half CGI, half real people. So it's got a little bit of that sense of it. All the orcs are CGI.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about like the very first story. It's like the very beginning of the Warcraft, story. So. It was maybe even before Warcraft 1. You know, if you watched all the cuts and the storyline from the actual game, it's around that time frame. So I mean, hopefully they make some more. You know, I'm not even necessarily needing a movie. I just like, you know, I don't know. I'd take a 6-episode series and I'd be pretty happy. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be pretty awesome.
TV shows are definitely stepping it up these days.
Oh god, yeah.
They're better than movies.
Yeah, they're 12-hour movies basically, which is awesome.
It's true.
Okay, well, why don't we jump into some of the go ahead, Allie, one last point.
I was just gonna say, one, did anyone else have the thought when they had the new Blizzard world map for Overwatch?
Yeah,
did anyone else like really feel the need, like they absolutely need to make that a real life thing someday? Yeah, because
I thought they were announcing the real thing. I was is about to happen here? Holy crap. No, and then they're like, no, it's just an Overwatch map. It's like, oh man, that would have been
ridiculous. I feel like it's a weird Overwatch map. Like,
it is strange.
It should be in Heroes of the Storm, because they tie all their stuff into Heroes of the Storm. Mm-hmm. With Overwatch, it's like a new game. So I felt like the map it's a cool map, don't get me wrong, but I just felt like it's kind of out of place there. But yeah, maybe it's foreshadowing of them, you know, building an actual place like that.
Well, it's kind of funny because
maybe someday.
The way they led into it too was just like, this is like in the Overwatch world, but Overwatch obviously is not in itself, so you know the theme park only has StarCraft 2 and Warcraft and Diablo, right? So it's kind of funny how they told that, but I agree. Like I thought conceptually it's kind of cool because you can get some, you know, kind of cross promotional Easter egg stuff into Overwatch, and we've had zero of that. Like there hasn't been a single thing from any of the other IPs in Overwatch to this day. I thought that part was interesting, but then, you know, like you said, it just seems out of place. Like, the Overwatch world, I just thought of as a different world in itself, even though it does have a lot of similarities to our world. So seeing that was kind of strange. And then, if you're going to do that, like, wouldn't you split up the IPs into, like, 3 theme parks or 3 different types of map? You know, one that's maybe, like, an homage to StarCraft, one's an homage to Diablo, you know, kind of get some legs out of that, but they just put it all into one, so this is kind of like a one-shot deal, I think.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah.
Maybe it's like a fun map, not like one of the main maps, but on the quick play.
Yeah,
possibly.
Maybe, yeah, it could be. It's definitely cool to see, though, or at least they had a fun time doing it, at least, so that's definitely great. Let's dive into the Hearthstone announcements. You know, this was obviously one of the things that we look forward to going to BlizzCon is just what's going to be announced. You know, this year I don't think there was anything that was surprising. We knew that a new expansion was going to be announced, and the expansion that we found out that they're going to be releasing is Kobolds and Catacombs. So Joe, like, were you surprised when they announced this theme, or were you expecting this kind of thing?
Yeah, I was actually kind of surprised at the theme. It kind of seems like they had so much to choose from. I was a bit surprised it was this, but all in all, I like it. I just was surprised at the theme.
Yeah. I kind of thought maybe there was pirates involved or something like that, right? When they showed Marin, I'm just like, I would never guess there'd be kobolds, you know, like being there, right? But Jackie, what do you think, man?
Yeah, and it was the names of the invitational teams were like Jungle Giants, and then basically it was things from previous expansions, and then there was the pirate one. And so kind of I think a lot of people kind of took the hint that, oh, it's going to be pirates.
Right.
But so I was surprised as well, but I like a lot of the new stuff I'm seeing, so should be good.
Wasn't there a leak? I could have, was there a leak like a couple of weeks ago or maybe a month ago? Yeah, and I think they did say kobolds, right? I'm pretty sure
something of the sort. Mines. So you know, like we definitely knew something about mines, right?
Because of that, I wasn't really surprised because I sort of expected it to be something along those lines. But I'm excited. I mean, it looks like it's going to be good. Hopefully.
Yeah, it's interesting. They took the approach of trying to bring just the whole dungeon and dungeon crawler experience to this expansion, and that kind of leads us to, you know, we'll get into the cards in just a second, guys, and just like more of the the flavors and the nuances of the cards, but kind of leads us to the adventure mode this time, which again is going to be free when the expansion comes out, which is awesome for everybody. But yeah. Boy, they did something completely different here. Really, really different than any of the other adventures that we've ever had. They've created essentially like a dungeon type of experience where they have a new mode. I kind of just call it a mode, if for lack of a better word, where it's very roguelike. If you guys have ever played those type of games where you progressively kind of build up your character or whatever, and once you die, like, you literally have to start over. In this one, you have 8 bosses that you go against one at a time, and each time you kill a boss, oh, actually, you start with a deck that only has 10 cards, and then each time you kill a boss, you get to loot his body, which is kind of cool, with 3 cards, and you get to choose between three sets of them. So they've kind of created this type of, you know, dungeon aspect to Hearthstone. So what do you guys think of that, Patrick? Any thoughts?
Yeah, I was like you guys didn't get to play it, right? So it was just my team.
I got to play it.
Jackie, yeah, you're
too. I did the demo.
All right. First of all, can I just say, instead of dragons, we have kobolds, and instead of dungeons, we have catacombs. That's what I think. I think of dungeons and dragons.
Yeah, that's funny. But, that's cool.
Huh. But with this tavern, I really like it because most people, when we hear tavern brawls out, we're like, oh, do I have to make another deck again?
Right.
And I don't know what to build.
Right.
You know, some of us are kind of lazy and we just want the pack. But this one is a lot more fun because they made the deck for you, but you have a little bit of the customization element part where you have 3 choices and you can see, you know, you can pick something. And yeah, you just don't have to build the whole thing. And I like the whole picking part. And you have to think about it. You're like, okay, the deck looks like this already. What can suit it? And also, like, the choices of the choose a treasure.
Yeah, this one right
here. That part was fun too.
Yeah, choose your.
So, and like, some of them were like 10 mana and pyroblast minions or the opponent or anything. On the board,
that card is the best card. Yeah, that is the best card ever.
I can't wait to play that card.
Cast unlimited fireballs until someone dies.
Until one hero dies, yeah.
It seems good.
We got that option, yeah, but we were like, oh, no, that's too scary. We want to win. We don't want to let Ian creep through.
But no, it was a lot of fun to do, and it was like one time we got the option of like 2 rags, and Fireband Crypt really didn't want to pick it, but I really wanted the 2 rags.
Oh, but, my god, 2 rags!
It freaked me out of it. But some of the spells you get are really insane. There's one that's like 1 mana, steal 3 cards from your opponent's hand, and it literally just like takes them. Like, it's not like copy; it literally takes 3 out of the hand, and it's ridiculous.
It's like all these things that Blizzard have said that they would never do, they're actually doing in these things, which is amazing. And the loot, by the way, I mean, there's a certain aspect where it's like pre-built, guys, but there's still a random element to it. So, you know, like, the loot that you get, I think, is randomized, right? Like, you don't get the same loot every time you kill. I don't think so. Every time you kill the same boss. And there's also 48 combinations of those 8 bosses. So this is the first time, you know, this is the first single player mode that's been replayable. You know, a lot of people have been talking about that. So I like that. I think that's really, really cool. I kind of wish that there was a prize every time you did it at the end, instead of just the first time, or once you do the 9 classes and you get the card back. But it's still fun. I mean, I still think this is a great addition to the game.
Yeah, I think it's really good for like free-to-play players, because like Arena, obviously you have to pay like 150 gold to enter every time. But this, you can just play, right? Which I think makes it really good. But the first 3 bosses were actually like really easy. Mm-hmm. And so like in the Invitational, both the teams like kind of won all our games. So I'm hoping that the later bosses become a lot more challenging. So it's actually like a challenge to meet them all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Joe, were you able to play it too? Like,
Yeah, I did play it. It was pretty fun, and I think it reminds me more of Diablo in like the replayability kind of aspect. I think that's what they were kind of going for. Since it's randomized or whatever, each time you play it, whether you win or not, you know, you're not going to have the same experience. You know, your bosses are going to be randomized. Your options are going to be randomized, so each time you play, you're going to have different decks and basically a different experience. So it seems really fun. And for those free-to-play players, you don't need the cards to play it. So that's not
yeah, it's not a barrier at all, right? Yeah. You'll get to at least experience the cards that you don't have. I wonder if it's going to be... I think a lot of the success of this has a lot to do with how hard it is. You know, just like, I think just like any of the adventure modes, right? And, you know, there is that, I don't know, it seems to be a pretty simple AI, at least I experienced in the first three bosses. And I know a couple of you guys even mentioned the same thing. I hope the last ones are really difficult because, you know, having it at a feat to finish this will be something, you know, the community can appreciate. And maybe we can, you know, show our decks that actually finished the eight bosses, and that can be something, right?
If it's actually difficult, it'll be fun to stream too. Yeah, like any new streaming content is fun, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping it gets harder too.
Definitely be fun to stream the Power Blast until someone dies.
Yeah. And when it kills you, it's like, oh, I mean, this is literally hardcore because then it kills you at the start all over again, which is brutal, totally brutal. That's the ultimate.
Some of the bosses repeat, right?
Do you know, within the eight, would they repeat, really?
I think we got the same
oh, did you? Oh, I never got the got the same boss. Wow, okay.
I don't think you're supposed to, but I think, yeah. On the panel, they did mention it gets harder, and they said there was that one boss that's, like, way more difficult than all the rest.
Okay.
Yeah, that gave, like, the quality assurance people some deaths along the way.
Yeah. I like it because it does feel hardcore, too. You know, when you're doing the adventures, I mean, very rarely do I finish everything in the first try. With this, you got to finish it in the first try. Like, you have no shot, you know, no choice to do that. It's really cool. Well, anyways, you guys, just, you know, when the expansion comes out, you'll have that available to you. Can't wait. I think there's going to be a lot of things. I mean, Firesides, I think we'll have a good time with it. So... can't wait actually until it gets out in the community. Let's talk about the cards. I know that's always a big thing, obviously, with all of us, just players, and particularly competitive players. So let's get into it. First off, Marin. So Marin the Fox was released earlier this week, or yesterday. Was it yesterday? Was it
two days ago.
Yeah, Monday, yeah. Actually. It was on a Monday, of all things.
Actually. So,
was it? I feel like it was 2 days.
It might have been yesterday. Yes. I don't know. It was Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, it might have been super early yesterday. I just think of it as 2 days. Well, Marin's out. You know, this is the card that, you know, they advertised would be the, you know, just one of those pre-expansion cards that we could get a chance to experience and have a good time, and kind of a precursor to it. What have you guys been able to play it a bunch? Any cool things you guys have discovered from it? Anybody?
The draw three cards and they all cost zero is really broken. I got this like crazy paladin turn off where I seeded for free and, you know, and I laid so many creatures on the board. So yeah, I mean, overall, I don't think the card's like that strong, but if you can actually not lose too much tempo, but, you know, by kind of dropping it and then actually killing the treasure chest, like, yeah, I mean, if you get something, it's good. But I've found that it's like, if you're thinking of replacing it for Lich King or something, like in Big Druid or in Warlock or something, like Lich King's still better. But at least that was my experience. But
yeah, Patra, you do anything cool with Marin so far?
Yeah, I tried to play Marin the Fox for a little bit. It's a lot of fun, especially when you can put it out and actually get a treasure. But if you can't do that, then you're just like, I hate this card. Only when you get the treasure, it's a lot of fun. I think some of like the OP decks are, I think you could throw, like, take out one card. Let's, for example, Raza Priest. Maybe you can take out one card and put Marin the Fox. If you still want to win, most likely still win, and have a little bit of fun. So I've even seen a big druid play Marin the Fox. They pulled out one card and put Marin. So,
Joe, have we seen any Marin the Fox decks like shooting up the ranks? in the last 2 years?
A little early to tell on that, but okay. I definitely don't think Marin the Fox is going to be too crazy. I haven't played it myself, but I saw Yang Wu retweet on Twitter that someone on Reddit had filled their opponent's board with treasures, so then they couldn't attack because they have all these 0/8 creatures on their board. Man. They kind of won that way, so that's pretty creative. I didn't check out how they did it exactly, but I saw that, so that's pretty funny.
Probably something to do with rogues, right? And shadow
casting. Yeah, like shadow caster.
Yeah, shadow casting Marin. That's pretty brutal. That's
but yeah, awesome. definitely the main problem with the card is killing the 0/8. Like if you kill the chest and get the thing, it's really good value, but there's a lot of decks where it's pretty hard to kill a 0/8. Like unless you're playing priest with like double pain, double horror, or like warrior with like brawl, it takes too long to get the chest, basically, I think.
No question the priest is the class I chose to play the most types of decks because it's pretty rough killing that thing with Hunter or even Shaman too. Oh my god. It's really, really hard to kill it.
I feel like they could have made
classes. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I feel like they could have made the stat line. Like, I don't know. It's pretty hard to get the chest off anyway, so maybe if it wasn't a 6/6... it'd be slightly better, but I guess they didn't want to make it too OP, so... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw a guy... some video of a guy die from the... giving the guy a treasure chest because they were playing a Divine Spirit Priest type of thing. His opponent was playing that, right? So it can be at risk, too, if you're not like killing it on the turn that you're playing it. It's definitely pretty fun, yeah. For me, it feels a little bit like Elise. You know, just you can get some added value at the end of a game, and it's kind of fun that way too if you want to choose to play that route too. But overall, I like the card. I think it's a great card to actually have for the public, and you know, a lot of people are probably gonna like really enjoying it. Okay, well let's go through some of these other cards, and I don't know, just why don't we just kind of go through them instead of going through each one of them? Maybe talk about any of the ones that really stood out to you. Anybody, just jump in.
Dragon Soul.
Dragon Soul.
Dragon Soul.
Dragon Soul. The three mana
priest with a weapon.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the big thing, right? That's one of the big announcements was that this expansion would have weapons for every single class. Like, I think there's going to be a legendary for every single class. And this is the first time this has ever happened, obviously, for a lot of the classes, or at least over half the classes. So, Dragon Soul, what do you like about it, man?
So it's after you cast three spells in a turn, summon a 5/5 dragon. And obviously Priest has a lot of cheap spells, whether you're playing like a tempo-y Inner Fire Silence type Priest, or whether you're playing Raza Priest, you're going to have a lot of cheap spells. And with like Lyra and Radiant Elemental to make them cheaper and create even more, I think this can generate a lot of value pretty quickly. And I think it could be pretty good.
I like it a lot in Raza Priest, but I don't know. I don't think it suits a Dragon Priest because I don't think you play three spells on a single turn.
Yeah, I don't know. I actually kind of disagree. I feel like with I've been playing the Inner Fire, Divine Spirit, Dragon Priest recently, and there are some early turns where I've got the Radiant Elemental and I'm just Power Word Shield, Shadow Visions, and you know, I don't know. I don't think it's that hard to get three spells off, but I guess we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah, you have to play it with the weapon, right? So
Right, yeah.
It can't be like a standard dragon one. It would have to be, I don't know. You don't actually have to play a dragon priest, you know, even though it is a dragon. I mean, I would think you would be playing like a miracle priest, which was like, whoa.
Yeah, I agree.
You're really going to play miracle priest? This is crazy, right? You know, it's kind of a Lyra miracle mixture is what I was in.
Yeah, I would agree.
OTK priest wouldn't be bad.
Yeah, OTK priest would work too. Man, if you don't kill them, you've got like 4 or 5 5/5s on the board just to make sure they die next turn. That'd be pretty sweet. Yeah. But definitely an interesting card for Priest. What do you think, guys? What do you guys think about the Mage one, the Luneth?
We were talking about this a little bit earlier, but I don't really see it having a place too much in Open the Waygate decks or. Yeah. Sorry, Quest Mage, because one of the issues with Quest Mage is that your hand is always so full. Like, you run a couple of Cabalist Tomes to kind of get the quest completed, and a lot of the times you have combo pieces already sitting in your hand, so the draw is actually... you find yourself having way too many cards. So I personally wouldn't put this in quest mage, maybe just control mage potentially. I don't know, it is 6 mana, so I'm not sure. What do you guys think?
So it's quite expensive, yeah. What do mages do usually on their
6
mana curve? The blizzard,
meteor. Yeah.
Removal-ish stall-ish.
Removal, kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like it's an odd card to have in a, let's say, a tempo mage or a secret mage. I don't see this card fitting there, but yeah, a slow fatigue sort of mage.
Or combo. Like, is there any other combo mage that's not quest?
I mean, there was the like burn mage that plays like Medivh, and I think that's probably the deck you'll be most likely to play, because like with the draw, if you're drawing 3 cards every turn, you're gonna definitely lose in fatigue, right?
Yeah.
So you just want to kind of get all your burn as fast as you can and then just throw everything to their face. I think that's probably the type of deck you want to play this in.
Okay.
Yeah, then it's also like, are you going to play this or are you going to play Medivh, right?
Yeah.
True.
I wonder if this is like a precursor to maybe some of the things that they're going to add. Maybe there will be a new OTK mage deck where drawing a card is going to be super good, because I can't see it working outside of that scenario. It's just too expensive.
Yeah, I mean, with tempo mage, I mean, a lot of the time your hand runs out, right? Because you're like just throwing fireball space, like if you're being super aggressive. So maybe it could work.
Yeah.
In a faster mage, but it is basically taking up the whole turn, and then it really depends if people are running a lot of oozes, because you certainly don't want to take the 6 mana to cast this if you're in a weapon removal meta, which it very well might be. So I think we'll just have to see.
Yeah, definitely have to see. I think it would have been even more interesting if it was like 2 mana or 3 mana and it was only draw 1 card. You know, like 2 mana, draw 1 card.
That would be good.
That would be better than this.
Yeah. That'd be really good.
I mean, I think this one's good as well.
Yeah, so it's going to be pretty interesting. Another thing that they introduced with this release is the concept of spell stones. And I believe they're all going to get spell stones too. They showed the druid and the shaman one. And Joe, you were at the What's Next one, right? So you saw both of those panels, right? Like the
Yeah, I saw both the panels.
Yeah. So what are your takes on the spellstones? Because how it works is, it's a card that can upgrade. And I know everybody's like thinking Jade or something. No, it's not like Jade. This is actually stuff that where you have to actually earn upgrades, not where you're just like automatically given upgrades. So when you gain an armor or gain 3 armor, so what you have to have the I believe you have to have the Death Knight, right? Or the Malfurion. This card can transform into, instead of deal 2 damage, deal 4 damage, and then it can upgrade again and deal 6 damage for 1 mana. So what's your take on this? You like this kind of upgrading card? Kind of like an Inspire type of thing?
Yeah, I think it's pretty interesting. It kind of is a different way to look at generating additional cards in your hand. So depending on the situation, you know, you might want it at the lower mana cost, or you might want to upgrade it to the better option. So it gives you more flexibility, I think. It makes it pretty interesting.
Yeah, it at least allows like your one drop to scale if you're you know, running Malfurion and things like that. Yeah, what y'all take? Allie, you have any thoughts on this one?
It's different. It's something new, right? So, I'm very curious to see how it turns out.
Yeah, I like it a lot, actually. Like, the end effect is a very powerful. Like, 1 mana deal 6 damage is insane. Like, maybe even, like, Maligos Druid could be a thing again. I don't know.
That's true.
But
that's totally true.
It's like, you're rewarded for kind of holding on to it and... it's basically just powering up while it's in your hand, but then you have to play a specific deck to actually make it work. Like, if you're playing an aggro druid, you can't play this card because you're not really gaining any armor, probably.
Okay. How do you upgrade, though?
You have to gain 3 armor. So,
yeah.
I think there are multiple ways to do it, but Malfurion's obviously the most likely way. But, yeah, you have
devastation.
Yeah, you could bite in hero power. You could
Nash.
No, I mean, not bite. You could claw in hero power. Claw it. right?
Yeah, claw would work, right?
Yeah,
claw. Do we know if it all has to be in one turn? So if you like hero power, three separate turns.
No, it doesn't. It just upgrades and sits in your hand, like so, and then you can upgrade it again.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I see. I see aggro druid being something for sure, like with this kind of thing. You could either wait and like, do Malaga's kind of thing with Malfurion, or you could just go super aggro with this thing.
Yeah.
Which is so this is the druid one. Let's take a look at the shaman one here. The shaman one's a little bit different. Actually quite different given that it's a shaman. Oh, there we go. So this one is a 7 mana. Summon one copy of a friendly minion. Overload 3 mana crystals to upgrade. So this one's a lot more costly, I think, to upgrade it. But it basically summons copies of friendly minions. So there's a prerequisite to it, where the other one was just like, it doesn't matter, right, if you have a board or not. So a lot of people were like, oh man, four mana 7/7s, we're gonna get like 4 of them. Yeah, that's gonna be amazing. Right.
It's expensive. I wonder if you could do some kind of OTK with this at some point, but it's pretty expensive.
I mean, you have to overload yourself to get the upgrades. So you have to play...
But only throughout the entire game, though. It's right?
I don't know. Is it overload 3 mana in a turn?
I think it's just overload 3 mana crystals, right? Like the other one would be just gaining armor.
It should be the same as the other ones.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't think it'd be that hard to get, you know, overload 3 mana crystals, so...
Yeah, it's Playoth Elemental.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Easy.
True.
Easy done.
Easy done. Yeah. Yeah, I think this one's a little bit... this one's not as impressive as the other one. It could still be good in some, I don't know, some type of overload deck, but generally overload doesn't seem to work very well, just historically. We haven't really seen an overload deck where it's like literally built to be an overload deck, be a top tier deck. Unless I'm wrong, Joe, like, has an overload deck actually been tier 1, tier 2?
Patra?
I mean,
not really.
Not overload specifically, but like obviously Aggro Shaman had some overload.
Mm-hmm.
Aggro Shaman had a decent amount of overload, like Lava Burst, the 7/7. No, I mean people used to run that little unload card. What, it's like a 3/2, I think.
Oh, the lava. The
lava
minion
shock.
Lava shock and the minion was.
Eternal Sentinel.
Eternal Sentinel.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Streamer showdown question, dude. But maybe there's something there. Maybe there's going to be even more overload cards, and maybe some some cards that where you can remove the overload. I don't think removing the overload would take away the upgrade though. So that could be a kind of cool combination you could do. Another card that's kind of got a little bit of a randomness to it is the Unidentified Elixir. So this is, we were just talking, at least Joe and I think Allie, and we were talking about just give a minion +2/+2 gain bonus effect, or maybe Patra was asking about, gains a bonus effect in your hand. So this one's interesting because when you put this card in your deck, you have no idea what this bonus effect is going to be. But when you draw it, it gives you one of these three elixirs. So you'll either get Death Rattle or turn this minion into your hand, a Lifesteal, Divine Shield, or summon one copy of it. They're pretty good, but given that, you know, you have to have a minion on the board to play this, it's like the typical priest dilemma. It's like, how do I keep a minion on the board so I can actually get a lot of value, right? On turn 3, much less. You think this card's good?
Test it out. It's, some of these cards are just, you look at them and you're like, we just have to try them out and see how they work.
Yeah.
It's at the moment, like, they're pretty confusing.
Right.
I feel like this card is one where if it somehow ended up in your hand, like through a Lyra, or just like you discovered it randomly, it'd be sweet, but I don't know if you'd actually run this in a deck. You know?
How much worse is this than Valen? It's chosen.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking about.
I think it's slightly worse.
Okay. I think Villain's
But Villain's
better.
Chosen was yeah. really, really good.
It was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's definitely better.
I think the best thing about this card is like Radiant Elemental. Like if you like coin Radiant Elemental on turn one and then have this, maybe you even summon a 1/1 copy of Radiant Elemental, and then if you got two, and then your Shadow Vision is zero mana, and your Shadow of Pain is zero mana, and you can kind of, you can do some crazy things like this.
That's good. Yeah, that sounds pretty sick. That sounds amazing, actually.
But I think it's only good in kind of very specific situations.
Yeah, yeah. It's an interesting card, though. I think this is a really cool way to do, you know, random elements to it. Death Rattle, return this minion in your hand. Oh, man.
Would you play this in a Miracle Tempo Priest? Probably. Or potentially,
Miracle
I guess.
Tempo Priest? Yeah. You would play it in that. I could see that. Another interesting card. Okay, so one of the more boring things that they added was the new keyword, which is recruit a minion. Essentially, recruit, guys, means summon from your deck. So in the case of Gather Your Party, recruit a minion, summon a minion from your deck.
Would that mean that Barnes' description would be changed to recruit?
They said they're not going to, but it is the same effect.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Recruit's going to be this expansion only, so they're not going to change Barnes from a different expansion.
Didn't they change Wicker Flame?
But Lifesteal is going to carry over to other expansions, yeah. I guess, right? So this one they're saying that Recruit's only going to be on these cards.
With Barnes, did they say anything about Recruit? It's not a Recruit because it's actually a 1/1 version of it versus Recruit.
Well, that's true. It doesn't actually pull
copy.
It.
Yeah, it's the actual. Yeah. Does it pull the actual card or just summons a copy of it? It pulls the actual card?
I think it pulls the card.
So,
it does.
Yeah, recruiting's actually literally, playing a card for you, which is amazing. That's kind of like a hunt. We've seen this kind of thing with Hunter, but getting a chance to see it being stretched to minions, which is more flexible than, say, like a secret, this is pretty powerful, but it's 6 mana, though. That's a lot.
Yeah, I don't think Big Warrior is going to be a thing.
Man, Big Warrior. This is the old, that's good old days, man. Big Warrior. It's been a long time since Big Warrior's been anything. So once again, Warrior gets a card maybe that doesn't match up with the class, man. Feels bad.
Yeah, I'm sure they will release some good Warrior stuff, though, because Warrior's not in the best spot right now.
Yeah, it's kind of
I'm really interested to see what they're going to put in the Warrior 2 slot now that Warx has been nerfed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They definitely have to fill it with something. Right now, it's just Bloodsteel Raider and nothing else. Or Dead Man's Hand, right? And not much else. So hopefully they will fill it. All right, Crushing Walls. We got a couple Hunter cards, which kind of hype for all the Hunters out there. Got a secret, and we've got this removal card. So destroy opponents left and right. One thing I say about this, at least the highlight for me of this, is the animation. The animation is amazing. I don't know if you guys have seen it or not.
I haven't seen it, no.
It's Patrick, you've seen it at all or no?
I think I remember it a little bit from BlizzCon, yeah.
Yeah, Joe, I know you saw it at the What's Next. It's the little walls fall down on both sides of the cards with the teeth, and it just goes...
yeah, it's a pretty cool animation.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. But as in a removal card, is this any good? You guys think this?
It's good for removing bone mare.
Yeah,
that's true.
But I don't know, when you get spells that are just so expensive, six mana up, it's kind of wouldn't you just rather play a minion that's just big?
I'd rather just play bone mare.
Oh, except for if it's called the wild, but then that got nerfed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's good.
Those were summoning 3 minions, so that's why it was good.
Right. Hunter always gets mismatched stuff. It's just kind of like what we were saying with Warrior. And so take a look at this secret. So it's a 2-mana wandering monster. I haven't really looked at this closely. When an enemy attacks your hero, summon a 3-cost minion as the new target. Okay, so this is Noble Sacrifice, but a 3-costed minion instead of 1-costed minion, basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
Giant Wasp. Coming at you.
Yeah. I mean, there's like, there's going to be some situations where this does insane things, like Injured Blade Master and the Shaman 2-8 Taunt. Like,
oh my god, yeah. Yeah, oh my god, so true.
The 2-8 Taunt? That's just, wow. That would be incredible to get that. Okay, yeah. So, I mean, that like, this kind of makes the, what's the Hunter card that will play secrets? Like, it's that new card that came out with this expansion.
Future Sight.
Yeah, I feel like this helps Future Sight quite a bit. All right, nothing too exciting.
I like that secret.
I like the secret too. Hunter still needs more though.
I think Rin is the most exciting card that they revealed.
Which one? Rin.
It's the one hidden there, missing slot next to Ooze.
Oh.
This card is crazy.
Here we go. Yeah.
The animation for the final thing is pretty cool.
I mean,
I didn't see it. What does it do?
It's basically a giant, like, enormous fireball just shoots towards the deck and just explodes the cards.
Oh, that's right. Crazy. Oh, that is awesome. It's like a cannonball. It's so good. So do we actually think this is good though? This whole Rin thing with the seals and everything. So who here doesn't know what it is? Do you guys know what this is?
I'm looking at it now, but
okay.
But you can explain it,
I think the worst thing about this card. Yeah, so basically it says 6 mana 3/6 taunt with death rattle, add the first seal to your hand. And then when you play the first seal, it adds the second seal to your hand all the way up to the final seal, which is the fifth one. And then it gives you a 10 mana 10/10 that discards your opponent's deck. And I think the problem with this is that all of the seals cost 5 mana.
So
you're spending 5 mana to just not really do much.
Yeah.
It's too expensive to summon a 2/2 for 5 mana. Like, I just can't see this working, you know?
This is like retribution for J Druid, except for they gave it to Warlock. What's going on here? Yeah, so
this is the first deck I'm gonna play though, for sure.
Yeah, right. It'll be so much fun. At least try it.
I almost feel like it should, you know, destroying your opponent's deck. As cool and amazing as that sounds, that's not an auto win though. You know, like I almost feel like if you complete all these seals, you should just win the game.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's hard as hell to do this. Like,
by the time that you complete it, they've already gone through the majority of their deck,
right? You know? The concept's cool. The concept's kind of like Four Horsemen type of, you know, like there's an alternate objective that ends up giving you the winning objective.
But
it's not quite the winning objective.
What if you could get there with Blood Bloom a little bit with some of these guys?
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. Oh, you know, that's a good point. Yeah, Blood Bloom can get
maybe.
You
maybe.
I think if anything, it'll give the streamers something fun to do.
Yeah. Good point.
Definitely.
Joe. Good point. Yeah, very interesting though. I feel like there's got to be some way to abuse this. It's going to be a race to see who can abuse this.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is one of the most different things that they added was this card for sure. But kind of getting back to the rest of them, anything else kind of stand out to you guys? Destroy it from the... Oh, this whole cube thing was kind of cool. The Carnivorous Cube, destroy a friendly minion battle cry, and then summon two copies of it when it death rattles. So you kind of have this, like, sacrifice investment type of scenario if you want to, you know, go big. So, you know, maybe this would be great with death rattle minions, right? That sort of thing.
I think someone will definitely find a use for this guy. It's got decent stats, like 5 mana 4/6. I'm sure there's some funky stuff that you can do with it.
Yeah, heck, even like Lepronome does, like, you know, what, 6 damage to you if you can do it. I wonder if there's some way to really abuse stuff like that. Interesting though, Carnivorous Cube. that art is even pretty different. And the stuff we've seen, but yeah, overall we've, you know, these are the three that we are, these are the 14 cards that we saw, and I think they're going to start releasing them in the next it was like 2 weeks when they announced it, so roughly a week, a little over a week, and we'll start seeing some more cards. You just announced, I think, in the normal fashion. But when do you guys predict the expansion will be? I saw something on Reddit today. People were speculating December 7th, but I don't know. You guys think around the early December that's probably going to be it, or you think maybe even late November?
Early December.
Around December, right?
Yeah, early December.
Yeah, I think
around
December. Christmas
time. Yeah, I think based on the HCT schedule, it's pretty much set in stone around there based on what we've seen already.
Okay. That's cool. It makes sense. You know, people can buy stuff for Christmas. Now you can gift things, right? So, well, you can gift... Wait, can we gift packs or no? Shoot. You can gift loot boxes, but you can't gift packs yet? Can we not gift packs yet?
I've seen some streamers giving out packs.
Yeah, I believe you can, yeah.
You can't gift packs? Okay, awesome. Yeah, I'll just make sure I got that right. That's going to be awesome. Great Christmas present for everybody. Maybe you can buy the the pre-purchase too for somebody. That'd be kind of a great Christmas gift. All right, well, let's talk about the arena thing. They had a pretty big arena presentation, which is kind of fun for everybody, which was they gave kind of like a Discover situation, or maybe like an arena draft, where at the actual panel itself, they showed 27 cards, three at a time. And, you know, the audience basically voted for which card that they wanted, you know, for each of the picks. And those nine cards are going to actually be added to Arena only for a period of time. I'm not sure exactly what the duration will be. Eventually they will go away. But pretty cool that Arena is getting its own unique content, which is these nine cards, which we can take a look at here. Yeah, what'd you guys think? Just the whole presentation and everything. Joe, you actually went to it live, right? So how was that? I didn't actually get a chance to see it.
It was pretty exciting. They came out and kind of talked about each of the three cards first and kind of went with their pick of which one they would choose, and then they let the crowd cheer for the one that they ended up picking.
Wait. They totally like told the audience what they would choose and then they let them choose? Okay.
Yeah.
Did it match up?
As far as I could tell, it definitely matched up. Yeah. So I don't know how they would have rigged it, but it definitely seemed to be any of the 27 cards could have ended up in Arena.
Okay.
Some of these are crazy.
Let's talk about some of these cards. All right, which one?
The Shaman one is absolutely ridiculous.
Okay, which one? Choose a minion.
Which one? Even.
Crackling Doom.
Overload 10. What are you gonna do? And nothing next turn.
Yeah.
Zero mana, deal 12 damage to all minions, overload 10.
Let's overkill every minion by 5 or more and then not have another turn. No, man.
But it's
actually costs zero. You cast it first, right? And then you build an insane board, and then you just gotta hope that your board that you built gets you there. For the next one. It's pretty darn good.
I mean, isn't it? It's an interesting design, that's for sure. It's, you know, this is about the extreme you can get from like, you know, getting pre-value to, you know, from an overload card. This is about as close as like to the best you can get by doing that. All right. So you would take this card every time, Shaggy?
If it was like a Yeah, I'll take this card.
There's no scenario where I would not take this card. Okay, that's cool. All right, what's another one that's just out of this world? Let's see. I like the polymorph one. That's fun. That sounds like a card one of our just audience members would mechatork. Choose a minion to score, a new minion to transform it into.
I like the Bottled Madness one. I think it'd be fun. Like, if you just had a bunch of, like it's late game or something, and you had a bunch of weak, like, one-cost minions in your hand, I don't know, I feel like it'd be fun to...
In Arena, it could be sick.
Yeah, in Arena,
Furion, and, oh, man. I mean, you could get Mal'Ganis, and it could be disgusting, right?
You can't get Mal'Ganis because it's not... standard, but you could get Draxxus.
No, but Arena standard now. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But it still would be, I think, really cool.
It still would be pretty sick, though. Yeah. Multiple Draxxus would be pretty sweet. What's the stealth smoke bombs? Give a minion stealth into your next turn. That's brand.
I think that's really good. It's and good, Rogue's already yeah. good.
And draw a card.
Yeah.
Deadeye is funny. It's like Hunter with a mage hero power.
Yeah.
Deals 2 damage, yeah.
Kind of similar to that card a while back. I forget what it's called.
Oh, yeah, I know which one you're talking about. You play a minion, right?
First? Yeah, it's a minion. So if it dies, it
Something
goes away.
Sniper, yeah.
Yeah.
Smoke Weevil. Yeah.
Actually, Blazing Longsword, I think, is great in Arena, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's actually really good. All three of the warrior options were all weapons, and they were all really, really good. And I mean, I think warrior is kind of like renowned as the worst class in Arena. So I think it's good that they're printing powerful warrior cards for Arena.
Mm-hmm.
This is the new Fiery War Axe.
This is a Fire Win Axe, man. This is like, you're totally gonna. This is amazing. Hand of Salvation. This is pretty interesting to play alongside, the Kodo, or you know, normally it's just like, okay, we just want to kill something easy first, right? But this actually punishes you for the second one, so it really throws the opponent for a loop as to what to kill first. In second.
Yeah, I actually really like this card, and I'd actually love to see this card in actually standard, because the Paladin secrets are really easy to play around, whereas the Hunter secrets are like really hard to play around. And so I think if we could get the Paladin secrets on the same level as the Hunter one, it would make the game a lot more challenging.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one would confuse everyone. Everything I learned is a lie.
It's like, man, just like throw a Mysterious Challenger out there again, and it was just like really just screw with us. It would be crazy.
I like it. Yeah.
I think Generous Spirit is another fun one, especially for those Arena streamers out there, for priests to do, you know, kind of crazy priest things, giving a minion to your opponent and drawing cards. Like, what kind of bad minion are you going to give them?
Well, you know what could happen is they play Marin, and then you do this. You give the loot box to, you give the treasure box to your opponent, and then you can get rid of it that way. Yeah.
Oh wow! Yeah.
Yeah, but they'd never play it though. So it's this equivalent to silencing it, I guess. That's true though. That would be pretty.
Give them a doomsayer.
Yeah. Or you can give them a minion and then just steal it back or something like that. I don't know.
Well, this works well with Paladin and Shaman, because you can just give them a hero power, which is like no big deal. The Nature's Champion is interesting too. This is like, man.
Yeah, that was weird.
This only works with a cheap minion, I think. Only makes the most sense with a cheap minion. But, you know, in theory, you could take a one drop. Let's just say, like, I don't know, an Argent Squire or something of the sort. And then I guess on turn 4, and then just play it again, right? And you have a 6.
+5/+5 is pretty insane, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
I can't decide if that one's good or not, but it's nice. I think it could be, it could work with maybe a tokeny type of druid. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's good if you've like played a minion and then like trade it into an enemy minion, and then it survives, and then you send it back.
Yeah,
and
then
you get really good value.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Okay, well, anyways, these cards are pretty interesting. It's again, some love for the Arena is definitely much needed. So really cool of them to do that. Anything else, guys, with Hearthstone, like BlizzCon wise, that we might have missed? Any kind of announcements that you guys saw along the way? That maybe some of the developers might have mentioned.
I think that's it for me. I don't know about you guys.
I basically just told them that I would like to see I would have liked to see our team have like special card backs during the event, and also in HGG would have been nice to have team like country card backs, because Overwatch did that for their skins.
Oh my god,
like blue and yellow versus Japan white and red. It looked really nice. So I kind of want that for Hearthstone.
Yeah, I think that would be
bit of that.
That would have been really cool, actually. Yeah, if they'd done that.
Yeah, I mean, enhancing the global games, I think for sure would be something great. I feel like they just, you know, went with something very, very basic this year, and it didn't actually get much attention. So, you know, hopefully they'll put some work into it.
You see, like, when you play MOBA games, like, they put little flags or banners on the map.
Yeah.
That's so cute. So they could have, like, a on the map of Hearthstone, it could have like a little flag.
Yeah, make a Global Games like background, right? Like that would totally make sense. That'd be kind of cool. With the you know, Hearthstone this year had its own hall and its own, you know, just the tavern was all like all to itself. What'd you guys think of that just overall? Because it was a little secluded. I think you had to go upstairs and then come back down, right? Like, I don't think you could actually access it from the outside. So overall, it was great that it had its own like dedicated hall. But did you think that was a positive or was it a negative not being connected to everything else? Like, Joe, what do you think?
Yeah, I personally felt it was kind of a negative. Like, obviously, it's nice that it kind of had its own area, but I felt like you were so secluded that if you wanted to kind of watch everything, you were kind of out of luck, because it really was a far trek. And the problem, too, is it's literally the opposite of the main stage. So if you're trying to watch the big events on the main stage, like, you're doing a lot of extra walking back and forth. Obviously, logistically, it gives them a problem, but I think maybe in the future, instead of having it dedicated to one thing, maybe they can dedicate it to some esports or panels or something so that it's all mixed in. So you're kind of, you're there for everything in one kind of category, but you're not just secluded to one game. So mix it up so it's not just one game, if it's possible. But I mean, it's going to be hard either way.
Yeah, because if they didn't put Hearthstone there, where does Hearthstone go? I mean, you know, like, I didn't see any open spots, like, in the main hall anywhere, so...
I think it probably just came down to space at that point. You know, they wanted to have the tavern and then all of the dungeon run demos and the, you know, massive stage. So it probably just was a space issue, but yeah, it was a little unfortunate that it was so away from everything else, because... Yeah, you'd have to, like, I think you really need to be there, want to be there for Hearthstone if you're going to stumble across. Like, I don't think you're going to go out of your way to stumble across it unless you're pretty into Hearthstone. So, and to get more people into Hearthstone, it'd be nice if it was a little bit more convenient. So, yeah, that's pretty much my take on it.
Yeah, I think you guys would have, like, for the invitation, would have gotten more walk-by traffic, especially with just how fun you guys were, you know, like, the kind of fun elements to what you guys were doing and... you know, even just the lighting and stuff, it would have attracted more people, I think, walking by versus, you know, being secluded. The Dark Moon Fair, just what they did with the, you know, where the Epic stage was, where I was, and the Dark Moon Fair and the Legendary stage, I felt like that was fine, being a little bit secluded upstairs. Like, that was completely, like, not a big deal. But Hearthstone should be featured way more than it was, in my opinion. So, I don't know if they rearranged things or not, but... I would suggest rearranging things. Maybe because the championships weren't on the stage. I mean, you guys think that might have played a role too, or at all? Like, just the fact that HTT wasn't there?
I think they probably still would have put it there, even if HTT. Okay. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Do they normally have BlizzCon in that venue?
Yeah. Anaheim, that's the same one. Yeah. Like, that's like,
they always have it there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where is Hearthstone normally?
Normally it would have been where the StarCraft stage was. That entire space would have been Hearthstone.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's pretty much where it's always been. It's only this year that they moved it. Because I don't know why, because last year Overwatch was not in the arena, StarCraft was in the arena, so there's really no difference as to how it was spaced. But something took more room this year. Maybe Heroes and World of Warcraft shared a stage in the previous years, Joe? You might... correct me if I'm wrong, but
yeah, well, that new area is brand new. It wasn't done last year. Yeah. So it's basically a separate building from the thing. They just added that bridge on the second level so you could actually walk to without going outside. But it was basically, I think, where a parking structure was before.
Yeah, right. No, definitely it's brand new. It's just I'm trying to remember how everything was fitted before, because it's not like we have a new title this year or anything. But yeah, moving forward, I don't know if they're going to change it or not. Like, I feel like this layout might be what it's going to be for a bit of time. But, you know, they just have to make it more, I think, obvious where everything was. It probably took a little bit of time for people on the first day to find it. It took me a little bit of time. I was just like, where is this exactly? Like, why can't I, like, I'm running into the window. It's like, where am I supposed to go here? Like, I need to go, I need to go upstairs first. So,
but maybe people get used to it.
Yeah.
You know, like,
don't climb anywhere. Actually,
I know, there was no Hearthstone sign, right? Yeah.
I remember seeing, like, Overwatch Arena this way. I never saw a Hearthstone this way.
Yeah, that was the one.
You had to go down an escalator, right?
Yeah.
I think they had signs like once you were already at the far escalator, but there were no signs like leading you to that far escalator.
Yeah. Hopefully this isn't a trend. Hearthstone was definitely way more featured before, I feel like. And hopefully they'll you know, make a change next year to make it more obvious where everything was. But anything else with BlizzCon? Like, did you guys get a chance to see anything else? I know you guys were busy with the Invitational, but did you make it to the Overwatch Arena or anything like that?
Yeah. I mean, yes. The Overwatch Arena was insane. Like, all those people cheering on, it was one of the coolest, like, things for any sports that I think I've ever seen. It's just, like, that kind of enthusiasm. Like, I've never really been in an arena filled for a video game. And, you know, watching all of the people go crazy during the USA-South Korea match was just, the energy was incredible. So that was definitely a highlight for me, just being there, seeing that.
Definitely. I would rather watch it in the Overwatch Arena than
online.
It was just the energy, definitely. But what I did like a lot also is that we had pro passes. So we could walk. We didn't have to wait in the line.
Nice.
The arena. I just went straight to the back and they were just like, oh yeah, you're a pro player. And I got to see all the Overwatch players. I didn't bug them though, but
Oh, you mean Seagull. In the green room?
Yeah.
I know where you were. I was back
it's
there.
It's pretty cool. Too.
Yeah.
Those so I guys. Took a shortcut to go to the arena. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Just where the tables are and everything. Yeah, that's cool. I mean, at least you don't have to wait in the line. I mean, even just that by itself, I think would have been like amazing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the Overwatch Joe and Jackie, you guys make it in there too or no?
Yeah, I saw the arena. It's pretty insane. I really like what they did with it, so that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, those of you that weren't there, the arena was different this year because it was a full bowl. Like, it wasn't, like, kind of partitioned like it was with StarCraft with the big stage, and so it was like a half circle in the past. It was actually like a full circle this time, which was pretty nice. I think you got more people in there because of it, too.
It was just so clean looking, right? It was all white and there was clouds and the music of Overwatch. He just felt like a hero.
I totally agree. And getting to your point, Allie, like I felt like it was like 2011 again. Like I felt like I was watching WCS again, you know, watching, I don't know what it was at the time. It's like, I remember maybe it was like 2013 or 14 where Jadong was like in the semis and, you know, like everybody's like rooting like crazy because we didn't have any foreigners in WCS. But this is like watching, you know, just trying the foreigners trying to beat Koreans at StarCraft II events. that's what it felt like. And that's like probably some of the best esports events or experiences I've had just to date. And that's what it felt like. I was sitting next to Fishsticks and we were just like screaming whenever, you know, like they won the first game, and I lost $100 because I actually bet on US. I actually felt.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I bet
South three
Korea.
People. I bet three people that US was going to win. Yeah, because everybody was like that. But like what I was hearing from the guys and what I was hearing from everybody else is that, you know, like they had a good shot, and they did. They actually had a shot to 3-0 them.
Oh yeah, they did great. I mean, like, for the most part.
So it was close. God, if they would have beaten them, this would probably be the most epic thing ever. But they got over 300,000 people watching, so it was a huge success for Overwatch. I mean, crazy success.
Honestly, it's just I think got everyone hyped for the league.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm really excited to watch the upcoming league. Do we have a start date on that? Actually,
they showed the first week, which the schedule for the first week, which is January 10th. But there's preseason though in December, so we'll get a chance to see some of those. But the colors look cool. Like Padre, you were talking about it, right? Or was it Ali? One of you guys were talking about just the different colors. Like the home team has white, or the away team has white, and the home team has those vivid colors. That looks so cool, man.
Really cool.
Yeah. I wonder if there's any way that like the Overwatch League could bleed into Hearthstone at all. That'd be really cool. I just don't know if there is a way. You think of any way, Joe, of like cross promoting the two?
I'm not sure. What do you mean, like, bleed into them?
Oh, no, I mean, like, the success of Overwatch, like, Arena, or just any of, like, the IPs, right? Having, like, being able to feed into Hearthstone in some way, or maybe even competitive Hearthstone. Is it too different?
Yeah, I don't know. It's, yeah, they're pretty different. It'd be challenging, definitely.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how you would even really, yeah.
But Hearthstone's making a few changes next year, so I'm excited to see what sort of changes they have for the competitive players.
Yeah,
I think they were saying next year you will actually know exactly how many HCT points you need. It's never like the players are going to guess anymore.
Yeah, that's good.
Because they were always just like, I think it's 17. I don't know. I'm going to get this much to be safe. Yeah. But now they know. They're going to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, to give the Blizzard esports team credit, they do improve the HCT each year, so hopefully 2018's the year that they really get those pretty significant improvements in there.
Build up the global games, man. I think the global games has the most potential to actually, you know, be an exciting event, you know, something even, I don't know, kind of similar to the World Cup, right? It's just you need to. And it can't be that long. Like, it was crazy, ridiculously long. Jackie, you played in it. It was actually Patrick. You played in it too. Like,
yeah, I mean, it was a lot of fun. I definitely enjoyed it. But I think if your team was in it through the whole thing, it's easy to, you know, stay involved and keep following your team. But as soon as your team gets knocked out, you can kind of lose interest, I think.
Yeah.
So what phase were you up to, Jackie?
Oh, we got wrecked. We got. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just the evolution of Hearthstone has been pretty cool. I think they're just really doing the team event stuff right now.
Yeah. Seems to be the popular thing right now, or at least the format. Hopefully that continues. But okay, well, I mean, I don't know if we have anything else left, you know, BlizzCon-wise. I mean, I just feel like BlizzCon was a huge success this year, just generally, even for Blizzard. And, you know, it's always like a very good end of the year type of event. At least for me, it's the end of the last event for me normally. Definitely great. But right now, guys, we want to take a little bit of time, just like we always do, you know, just thank some of our patrons who support the show. If you want to help us continue doing this show and support it, go to patreon.com/valuetown and send a pledge our way. You know, even like a quarter, a dollar, whatever. I mean, that definitely helps out with us being able to continue doing this. And want to give a shout out to some of the folks that have been, you know, supporting us for a long time. Our legendary producers, Mike T, Rami S, others, Albert, Bryce L, Engine S, Brandon P, Raydan, Bob K, Vincent G, Code, Chemist, Howard P, Farron F, and Hutton J. Thanks so much, guys. You are amazing and awesome, and we would not be able to do this without you. Wanted to, you know, since we have Joe on here, and we've never had Vicious Syndicate nor anybody from the company on the show. Just wanted to get an update from you. And I think all of us use Vicious Syndicate and get a really good look at what the meta is every single, you know, week and month. But want to see what's anything new coming? Anything you can share with us, maybe?
Yeah, thanks for that. You know, we always love hearing feedback, positive and negative, of people who really like our reports. There's definitely a lot of work behind the scenes with the data and stats. So, you know, of course, thanks to all the team. You know, I don't do any of the hard work. That's all, you know, Ohad, his brother, Phenom. You know, they're the top three that really do the hard behind the scenes work. But yeah, obviously we have a new report coming out tomorrow. It'll be volume 69.
Oh, woo! Hype! Crazy.
So, that comes out tomorrow.
You guys know how to market, man. It's great.
Yeah, and then our new app that we launched to kind of replace the Data Reaper Live kind of Google Sheet that we had is the VS Live app. That's free for everyone to use. That can help you keep up with the live meta throughout the week that uses Hearthstone Deck Tracker and Trackobot. So, you know, cool. Depending on that's what you use, awesome. You can still contribute. Yeah, so that's really awesome. Cool. And we have a couple other things that we're not really ready to talk about, but we're definitely bringing more features and more information to the community.
Yeah.
So look out for that. We're definitely working and taking back feedback and suggestions from people to just deliver more. You know, our main goal as an organization is to elevate the community's knowledge using data and statistics. So that's really what we're all about.
No, I'm super excited about just seeing what you just said there with the live track, because the live tracking kind of thing, because just correct me if I'm wrong, Joe, like literally at any point in time, we can just go to this, you know, live tracker and it shows us exactly what the trends are, right? Like what's what the top deck is and all that stuff.
Yep, absolutely. It updates at a level which we're not completely set on. I think it's 2 hours. Every 2 hours it updates.
It's good. It's still
pretty good. Which, you know, there's obviously some server related bottlenecks there.
Yeah. Definitely.
And we clean the data through and, you know, kind of run it through our algorithm for, you know, the classification, so there's some delay on that. But yeah, it's definitely up to date. You know, if you're coming on like today right now, our last report was 6 days ago, so you know, keeping up to date with more accurate data is very helpful.
Yeah, I've actually got Twaddlebook coming up next week, and I was using your site this morning. It was very useful.
Hey.
Keep all the good work.
Yeah, absolutely. And you guys can feel free to reach out to us directly. We're always happy to help people individually with special projects and kind of more in detail work than what we have publicly. So
cool.
Nice. I didn't actually know that. I didn't know you did. You guys.
Yeah. So anyone listening,
basically,
you know, hey, yeah.
Hit us
reach
up.
Out to us. We're happy to talk.
Need an analyst. Here we go. That's awesome too. All right. Well, exciting to see that. And, you know, one of the things I was talking to Joe about, just to get a little bit more, just transparency, is like, we want to do some regular kind of Vicious Syndicate segments on Value Talent. So, you know, be on the lookout for that. It's going to be, you know, some Joe will probably pop up sometime. Ohad might pop up, you know, from time to time. So excited to be able to bring that to kind of the Value Town audience too. Let's see. We've got the host challenge that we did. So it feels like forever since we actually, you know, talked about host challenge since we've been gone for a little bit. But if you guys remember, the last host challenge we had was who can build the biggest Silverhand recruit. And what did you guys think? Whenever we threw that challenge out, what do you think the biggest Silverhand recruit was that somebody could build?
Oh, gosh.
69.
Good answer, Jackie. Good answer. Well, the answer has been proven here. Raydan pulls out the double eights, or actually the quadruple eights, which is really lucky, actually, in Chinese culture. But
wow.
That's cool.
That's pretty amazing, the 88-88. Patra, have you ever seen that big of a Silverhand recruit?
No. And you said Raynad did this?
No. Raydan. Raydan did it. Raynad's doing our host challenge. That will be a freaking day, dude.
Yeah, that would be pretty funny.
Yeah.
He's a busy man, but he finds time for the Value Town challenge.
I got a lot of love for that guy, dude. How do we even get to 88-88?
I have no idea.
I don't even know, man.
I don't know.
It's a priest, right?
Well, it's a priest, right? So
is
they
it a priest?
Did
oh, it is
fire
a priest.
Shenanigans.
Oh, he stole a Silverhand recruit. Got it.
So he steals it from the paladin who already made it really big, I suppose.
Maybe.
No, he created it from the 3-3, right?
Oh, does the 3-3 create a Silverhand recruit?
Yeah, the 3-3 creates a 1-1 Silverhand recruit when you use your hero power.
Okay, that makes sense. He still has to buff the hell out of it, though. You still have to get it to 40. Well, I guess you could double buff it, right? So you can double divine it.
So 88 takes you, what, 44? Yeah. And then...
Okay, I can see that. That's still pretty amazing. Because you're not allowed... By the way, guys, in these challenges, you're not allowed to play yourself. Like, it's not a custom game. It's like you actually have to do this against a real person.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so the fact that he did that, that's pretty... It's not disguised versus toast kind of thing, you know, like...
What if he was playing against his friend?
Patra, you're destroying this, like...
just let him
totally
have it, Patra.
Destroying this, like...
rigged.
Just let him have it.
Yes, let him have it. No, it's cool, regardless. You can do it with your friend, too, it's fine. but all right, new host challenge. Do we have any ideas this week? Anything? Any something with Marin, maybe?
Something with Marin.
We could do the fill the whole chest thing, right? Fill the whole
fill
thing.
Your hand with Yogs.
Oh, fill the hand with Yogs. Oh. Yeah.
I mean, how's that? That's not bad.
Oh, but so the one thing that's really nice about the challenge is when they can one up each other sometimes. Oh, we can do either one. All right, fill your hand with Yogg. I like it. Let's go with that. It's just it's possible, right?
How do we do that?
One of those treasure boxes is fill your hand.
Draw with a card, fill your hand with copies of it. Draw three cards, reduce their cost to zero, or discover a legendary minion, summon two copies of it.
Sorry, I thought it was like I thought the taunt gave you random legendaries, like Golden Monkey.
It does.
Okay, so just fill your hand with Yogg. That's a challenge. Okay, all right, got it.
Right, it is. That it's possible, right? I just want to double check. It is definitely.
I mean, you can get 9.
No,
it must be possible.
If you play it, don't you fill it up with?
You have to have like no cards in your hand except the 3-mana spell, and then you draw it, and then
yeah. You could totally. It has to be your last card. The goblet has to be your last card. Okay.
Okay, there we go.
This is a hard one. If you guys do it, if you guys literally send me a screenshot tonight, I will be super impressed, because this is what normally happens, man. Somebody sends it to me literally on the night after we do the show, and it's like, damn, you guys are good. It's like crazy good. Let's see. Do we have any questions this week? Let me see. We might have like maybe one or two questions. I forgot to put in the notes here. Good stuff. So we've got Ahmed N. He has, are you concerned about weapon removal for new shiny legendary weapons? And will they become a must-run to beat certain decks like Mage Weapon if not destroyed? Or is it really powerful in tempo decks? So, yeah, weapon removal generally. What do you guys think? Is this going to be like BGH, 2 years ago, where it's like, or 3 years ago, wherever it is, where we literally played BGH in every single deck, regardless?
I mean, it just depends. Like, people, there already are a decent amount of decks that play Medivh in the meta right now. So, having weapon removal in addition to all the new weapons that will come out will probably be pretty good. I mean, it just depends, if people are going to play these new cards. But yeah, I would say we'll probably see a decent amount of weapon removal.
I feel like when all the cards are released and everyone gets to actually play it, everybody will be trying the weapons, so get your Harrison out.
Yeah, get your Harrison out.
Get your museum emptied out and ready. yeah, totally. I mean, it's gonna. One thing I was thinking about too, and I forgot if I was talking to Trump or I think it was Trump I was sitting next to. I was like, I wonder with all these new weapons, if we end up playing them, if this will be a little bit, give the classes with weapons a little bit of advantage, like the ones that already have weapons. Because, if everybody does play ooze, then, you'll have choices to ooze, where it's like, if you're a priest, there's only one choice unless you play Medivh or something like that. You think there's any chance that people play multiple ooze? Like, do you think we'll ever be in a meta, if there's potential for a meta that we play two oozes?
Potentially,
it really depends.
God, that would be terrible, man. Like, I would hate something like that.
I mean, people play two Galaka crawlers. It's not that much different, right?
Yeah, but that's not good. Like, nobody said it was like, it's like.
I'm pretty sure that a couple metas ago, or maybe one meta ago, people played both Gluttonous Ooze and Acidic Swamp Ooze when Pirate Warrior was running rampant. It was in like Kazakus Priest. Mm-hmm. And I know it wasn't like the Raza Priest that we have now, but I think it was Kibler's list, and I'm pretty sure he had double ooze just because Pirate Warrior, weapon removal is always going to be useful. So yeah, I mean, like, there has been a time where double weapon removal was a thing. So
Yeah, I think everyone's fascinated with ooze, but the legendary weapons don't really have attack, so you may find it's not even worth it to break them.
They don't, but it's really the effect that gives them all the value, though, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, if you don't kill it, it's the 3 cards every single turn, or whatever it is. I think it's, if anything, I feel like it might even be more like important to remove some of those.
Class gets one, so.
Yeah.
How many of the classes actually will have attack then compared to the other ones who don't?
I just assume that none of them would, but maybe there will be some that have attack.
I think they mentioned none of them did.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Okay.
I thought they made priests not have attack because priests aren't supposed to have weapons, and then like mage doesn't normally have a weapon, so there's no attack. But for the classes that actually do normally have weapons, I would think that they would have some sort of attack.
Maybe.
That would be.
I'm not sure.
disgusting. Like, can you imagine if you had like a true, like a true silver that actually gave you shit too? That every single turn, that's crazy good.
I mean,
they'd have to balance it maybe.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there would have to be like one. Maybe it's like a Gore Howl or something. It only has one durability, so you either have to keep it or you swing it. That's still better than these versions. We'll have to see.
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing about the weapons is that maybe the best way of taking advantage of people playing them is literally just playing an aggressive deck, because like they're a complete loss in tempo. Like the priest one, it's basically 3 mana, do nothing.
Yeah.
The mage one is 6 mana, nothing on the board anyway. So probably just playing an aggressive deck would be the best way to beat those decks.
Okay. All right, well, that's the only question we've got today, guys. So, yeah, I think we're going to wrap up. It's been a fun episode of just talking about BlizzCon. Only happens once a year, so we definitely take a lot of time and get a chance to cover everything. But, Patrick, thanks for joining us today. And Joe, obviously you too.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I want to do next time, Patrick. We'll have you on camera. We got to figure it out. I need an overlay with 5 people on it. Like,
you know, I got to wake up straight out of bed and be on this, and I didn't have to get ready. So that I like that a lot.
Probably definitely a misplay having my face up here instead of Patrick, though. So.
What are you talking about, dude? Oh man! But yeah, thanks for being on, Patrick. You want to do any shout-outs before we take off?
Thanks guys for tuning in. If you enjoyed it, or if you don't know about me, I'm Patra, twitch.tv/Patra. That's how you can find me. But yeah, thanks a lot for having me, Chan Man. Sorry about my dog barking in the somewhere. In
oh, was that your dog? I couldn't tell who Saga was.
Dogs are always a plus. It's always a plus, so it's all good.
Definitely go check out BlizzCon if you haven't. It's a must.
Yeah, if you got the virtual ticket, yeah, go and check out like all the VODs if you missed any of it, for sure. Joe, how about you, man? Shout-outs?
Yeah, thanks everyone for tuning in. Anyone who follows VS, you know, we love feedback. Please, please, please give us all the feedback, positive and negative. We love to hear all of it. And special thanks to the VS team who really do all the work to make it happen each week for you guys. So, yeah, thank you.
Awesome. Allie?
Shout out to Jackie's and my team, F2K. We love you guys. Shout out to the chat. You guys are great. I don't know. I'm drawing a blank today. Oh, and our patrons. Yeah, thank you very much to our patrons for allowing us to do what we do. So thank you very much. That's all for me. Peace.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, I think you guys have kind of covered all the bases. But yeah, thanks to my co-hosts for a great show, Fade to Karma, chat, and that's all from me.
Yeah. All right, going to wrap things up. Thanks to all you guys for doing the show with me today. It was definitely amazing. Thanks for everybody that was watching. Again, you guys can find ValueTown on all the various channels. So audios are iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud.com/ChanManV. So you can, any of those instances that you need to find ValueTown, you can do that if you're working out or on the way to work. So just look up Hearthstone or ValueTown, you'll find us. Leave us a review if you think the show's good and you like it. It helps us out in terms of people finding ValueTown and all the rankings and everything. Also, you can find the VODs for the show on youtube.com/ChanManV. You can follow the show at ValueTownGG. And all of our Twitters are on there. Patra's is is it just at Patra? I forget.
Yeah, first name.
Yeah, at PATHRA, guys. But that's going to be it, guys, for ValueTown this week. So for Patra, look, it's Joe, Ali Straza, Jackie Chan, and myself, ChanManV. We'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
See you, guys.
Long day, but we won't back down. One thing playing on our minds. Long wait, but we won't give up now.